Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing after shows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
What's up? Yes!
We're here.
Yes! Welcome to the violence! Welcome! Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is the AfterBuzz TV after show for The Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 12, Not Tomorrow Yet. What an awesomely violent 80s episode, guys.
So good. Loved it.
Yeah. So good.
Straight out of the 1980s.
So good.
I'm your host, Ben Bateman. This is my wonderful panel and my brand new, if you guys might not know him yet, our brand new social media correspondent.
I don't even know what camera to look at right now. I'm so excited. Oh, here we go. Hey, guys. I've moved from the table to the computer and the couch. I'm just saying. You know, up my game.
You remind me of like Emilio Estevez in Mission Impossible. You've like
I'll
got
take
the
that.
Headset.
I'll or, take that.
In yeah. all
take
that. 5 minutes.
So I'm reading all your comments. So put all your comments right now because I will read them on the show today.
Yes. Yes. Let's go. We're going to go backwards. We have a special guest.
Hey.
Matt Rupp.
Hi, that's me. Hi, everybody.
Now, Matt, you have a Walking Dead, right? You're involved. You're a huge fan.
So back before after shows were a thing, I was with a network called This Week In, and we were like, hey, let's sit around and talk about Walking Dead because we're all big zombie fans. And it was called This Week In Walking Dead, and it was a thing for a while on iTunes and YouTube, and that was me. And ever since, I've just kind of been around the internet. You see me now at Smosh Games, Unpopular Kids, so yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks, man.
And we have a Joyce Ajuri, the beautiful Joyce Ajuri.
Hello. Yeah. Glad to be back. Not going to choke today. Fingers crossed.
You were fine last week.
Oh my God, I was so embarrassed, but it's fine. It's not as bad as I'm sure.
The fans were so happy to have a woman. They were so happy there was a woman in the room. It was like we dodged
Glad
a lot.
I could provide that womanly touch to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Feminine touch. You're like the Carol of the group. Bake us some cookies, hey. Except with pistachios. And
I'll do that next week.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I will bring cookies.
Bring some cookies.
No beets.
I
no beets.
Won't cook with beets, but good. I'll make some bomb-ass cookies.
Just make sure they're red.
Beets and acorns.
They gotta be red.
Beets and acorns. That's what it was.
They gotta be red.
And last but not least, we have John Carl.
Hi, guys. Ooh. I've been drinking for the last hour and a half.
Excellent. We haven't, but he's by himself.
Yeah. Just in the corner.
Yeah, it's
awkward. He's got a problem.
I do want to point out, normally you introduce us as like your beautiful panel, and Matt's the only difference this week, and you didn't call us that. Are you trying to say
it's
something?
It's because I'm not there on the table.
That's fair.
I got distracted.
So many changes. I can't.
It's the beard.
Does
it.
Whiskey and waffles. You missed your cue. What happened? I'm so excited.
I messed up.
All right. Well, we'll have John talk about whiskey and waffles later. I'm Ben Bateman. I'm the host. I love Walking Dead. Let's talk about this show and the episode. But before we do, let's talk about iTunes and Twitter. You guys obviously can follow any one of us on Twitter. You can comment on the YouTube comments, let us know your thoughts, and of course, find us on iTunes, rate, review, all that. It helps us keep the lights on and do the show. Let's get into the episode, guys.
Yeah.
Let's
do it.
Yeah.
So
good. We need a synth. I think we need a synth background in this episode.
Ooh. Like that, we need like the theme from Terminator 1.
Exactly.
Though, when it was really tremolo.
Yeah, wow, wow,
and like,
wow, yeah, so good. Yeah. Just bright neons everywhere.
Yeah.
That was this episode. It's like they remembered the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said earlier, it reminded me of Manhunter, meeting
Drive.
Yeah. And it was all about relationships. I felt like every group, it was all about the relationship for this particular episode.
Totally agree.
Well, they worked really well together tonight. I mean, like, you know, I guess we're recapping our opinions, so I'll just throw mine in there. Yeah, I agree. Like, the group as a whole, like, they had something to fight and to, like, they had a purpose today, which was which made it really good to watch.
Yeah, they were proactive and not just reactionary to the circumstance. They're like, let's go out there and do this and do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. And we got right into it. Like, I sort of felt like they were going to start talking about the plan, and then it was going to take 3 episodes to execute.
Right.
I was surprised they just got straight into it.
They went right into it, yeah. This show needed it, though.
Yeah. A sense of security. It's weird.
Yeah.
So I want to start with the relationships, like you mentioned, because that seemed to be this episode. They kind of dangled, like, a lot of carrots. Like, let's give you 3 minutes with these two characters. Let's give you 3 minutes here. So we'll start with Tara and Denise. We really got... She said she loved her, which she was covering up because she had killed people and didn't want
to
talk about
it. But she's still telling
her.
The truth.
Right, she does love
her. She did still love her.
Yeah, and so the actress that plays Tara, we're all, like, pretty much, right, she's pregnant, so they're showing from there up now, right?
To two quarters now, it's what it is. Yeah. It's no longer a three-quarter shot.
They're doing a good job. I was a little confused because the television that we watched on had, like, a strange aspect ratio thing going on where the edges of the screen were warping.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
And so it would, like, kind of pan, it would be like Tara's face got really wide for a second. I was like, is it really? I'm not sure what's going on, but I like their relationship, the two of them, a lot. I'm a fan, actually.
Yeah, me too. Cute. I think they have, like, a cool kind of fun, positivity. Not everyone is so doom and gloom, which it feels like everyone else in the cast is like, it's all awful.
And they don't have terrible. Any issues.
Yeah,
they don't
everything's
any
good.
Issues.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I mean,
it's
hopefully...
The Walking Dead. Not yet.
Well, I mean, they're both still alive, so that's a positive. So
for now.
I thought they did a great job with this episode, with really putting us in these situations where these very, very traditional, predictable kind of interactions happen between people. And while in the past it's felt like a little soap opera-ish going through this sort of stuff, we're so familiar with these characters now, and we're so familiar with death and the high stakes. It's like, it doesn't feel like we're in new territory anymore. Every day of the week, it's like, yeah, we might just die. Like, that's how it is. We protect ourselves. So many of the interactions with these characters, I felt like there was an added... Or maybe the weight that used to be there, it wasn't quite as heavy. It all felt like just very real personal interaction.
Which is weird, because this week has so much at stake, because they're going into a fight. Like, it's not like they're just reacting to walkers hitting the wall.
Yeah.
They are going into a fight where, in theory, not everybody should be walking out of that.
Well, not only are they going into the fight, they're creating it.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that wasn't supposed to happen, but they're making it happen before it happens to them.
The thing that's intriguing what they've been doing is, like, I don't think Rick or anyone in the camp really knows how awful Negan is. And sure, some of the diehards know. We all know how awful it can be. So we're all having that gloom and doom that we're giving them. But they're all kind of going in like, we've been in fights. We've done conflict. Come on.
But they
we
also,
got this.
They're also keep, they also keep getting told that, like, oh, Negan has nothing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
you guys got
line.
This. Like,
yeah.
They really have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. They're setting us up for the most brutal and tragic failure of our expectations that could ever happen.
Yeah.
Which
so
we hope for.
Yeah. So if you don't know, I mean, like, the whoever is, you need to watch the last episode of the season. Like,
yes.
Sure, absolutely.
And it will trend. It'll be insane.
Mm-hmm.
And also, according to Dave G, who's on our feed right now, he said that Tara said, the character Tara, or the actress who plays Tara, said she was 9 months pregnant when she was filming this episode.
Yeah. 9 months? Damn.
9 months.
That's commitment.
Nine months.
Damn.
If that's true, that's some serious stuff, because she looks good.
Yeah, she does. She does. I mean, it was only...
I wouldn't have guessed 9 months.
Slightly noticeable, but, like, but barely.
I think that was just our TV making everybody's face wider.
Yeah. Everyone looks wider.
It's fine.
I think so, too. All right, let's get into a much, much, much more intense interaction. Abraham and Rosita. And then Eugene... Was he eating a piece of pizza?
I don't know.
No, the cookie.
Oh, yeah, cookie.
He's eating a delicious beef cookie.
Like, where'd they get the pizza
cookie.
From?
Shoot, it just hit me for a second. Pizza.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I love that because Abraham has just proven why he is the king of metaphors.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, my God, that was
first
so
off,
fun.
Why are dingleberries brown? It's like,
that's the one
way
question shit I'm walking
is.
Away. Yeah.
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 Why are they? I guess it's a dietary thing, really, right?
I mean, it is.
I wanted to write all of the lines down in that interaction here. So, like, the wild dingleberries run line, and then she says, why? And he just says, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best line, he says, when I met you, I thought you were the last one on earth. You're not. Whoa!
That was a hit.
The mic!
That is a hit. As a girl, I was like, oh, that would devastate me.
I started laughing. Horrible.
That's. I mean, it's fine. I mean, poor Rosita. She didn't see it coming. That's why it's. I mean, I guess
it's quite a thing
funny
to say.
Yeah,
sense.
It's intense. It was intense, but I think
it was.
I don't know. I feel like when in this show, as soon as someone starts to hook up or is getting close to a romantic involvement, that's you kind of like, as a fan, you're like, dead, totally dead.
Dead.
So the
that's
fact
true.
That he broke up with someone was like, oh, thank God, Abraham's alive for another week. We can survive. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe or.
Double
knows.
Dead.
Maybe. Well, maybe now he's going to have some with Sasha, and then he'll die.
I kind of like the idea of him, now that he ended everything, and will go after Sasha, she'll be like, meh.
Right.
Like, she never really reciprocated.
No. Exactly. Like, there's no confirmation that there's anything that's going to happen between the two of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was super friend-zoning him when she was like, peace, dude. Mm-hmm. She did that whole peace sign thing.
I love the friend-zoning right there.
It is. It's so friend-zoned.
It's true. It's true. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, there's so much, like we said, relationship focus right now, that they're not going to do two relationships right now. They're not going to focus on Abraham and Sasha. We already got, we're still getting over Rick and Michonne, you know what I mean? So they're not going to do two right now. So, you know, it is what
it is. Which was very absent in this episode, too. Yeah. We were commenting on that.
Really gave us any. I do think, that we keep referencing it, but I do think that the Eugene Rosita thing is definitely coming, and they keep hinting at it, and it's definitely
such
on its way.
Weird thing.
I'm just telling you. I just can feel it. Like it's the ultimate. Like, okay, if the guy says to me, "You're not the last one on Earth," who would be the ultimate fuck you? Who would it be?
Literally.
Yeah.
Well, according to Mr. Ashan Gold, Rosita will kill Sasha. So that's a serious statement.
I don't know.
I feel like Rosita's better than that.
I don't know. Hell hath no fury.
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't know. She could have gotten away with a stray bullet in this or something like that. I don't think she'll.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's intense, he's not the last man on Earth, so she.
Or is he?
Or is he?
No, he's not.
I really like.
No, he's definitely
the last ginger on Earth, maybe.
I really like Rosita's interaction with Carol when they were out by the camper, and she was pissed. She's clearly bitter, and it's like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in, like, a, let's just say, a group at school or, like, a, you know, a work group, something where there's, like, clearly a difference of opinion, and you kind of want to relate to everybody, like, you're all on the same page. You start, like, passionately selling an opinion. Maybe you're complaining about somebody else in the group, and the person's just kind of, like, not on the same page as you. They're kind of being like, I mean, I don't know, but he's entitled to his opinion, and you're just, why are you being so difficult? And you just, like, feel on your own, and, like, I totally got that. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. That really happens.
Like, Rosita was looking for an outlet, and she just wasn't, she wasn't getting what she wanted.
Her down.
Yeah.
Smart writing. That's very smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Scenes like that, they're so, like, obvious.
Yeah.
So then Carol and Tobin, right? That's our other big one.
It's about damn time Carol got some.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it? I immediately, when they kissed, I was like, oh, Daryl, no. I was still holding out.
Whatever happened with that?
I don't know. I thought it
was just
kind of
they teased us for a while with that, but that was not it. I gave up on that a long time ago.
I was holding out.
I never thought.
Carol needs love. You know what? Carol is such a badass right now. She needs someone. I feel like Tobin kind of balances her. They shared the cigarette. Right. He flirted with her about the cigarette.
Who is Tobin? Come on.
He's going to die. He's absolutely going to die from that.
He's an
older guy, you know what I'm saying? Daryl's a little bit younger than her. She needs a.
Is he really?
With the Daryl stuff?
I think he's younger than her.
I'd say so.
It's close. Yeah.
I always got the sense with the Daryl stuff that when it was happening, it was like, it was kind of weird because it was halfway like a little romantic and it was halfway like a mother figure. Like you didn't have a mom and she kind of wanted to take care of him.
He's from the South.
Daryl?
Yeah.
Well, I saw it as because of how awful her ex was, she saw how awful he was, but he was also a better version of that. So I always saw it like that. Like, she sees the good in this rugged bad guy, which realistically he's not. He's the best hero on the show. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, this makes so much sense. And they had a great ship name. It was there. Just Carol. It was there.
It was Carol with a Y.
There was no thought. Yeah. It was just there. It worked.
Well, the last thing the two of them had, like, one of those, like, sort of weird interactions was when they were standing out. He was standing outside the house in Alexandria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just had that awkward thing where he said something like, no, we have to just fit in here. Or was it she who said that? I think it was last season.
Yeah.
But it was the last time the two of them talked. And I was like, oh, this is a little weird. Like, we haven't seen the two of these guys have, like, a one-on-one in a little while. And I was kind of reminded, what happened to that?
I don't know, maybe they just got bored with it.
Yeah.
They were just like, there's no point.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're going to kill off Daryl and they didn't want to do that to her.
No.
Well, let's talk Tobin, because that's really what
he's so dead. If he goes, they're going to do that to her.
Yeah.
He's so dead.
Did we see Tobin coming? I never saw that coming.
No.
I've been predicting Tobin's going to die for a few weeks.
I'm going to be honest with you. The reason that they are focusing in on him having a relationship, I think he's going
to
be dead.
He has to be.
You know what I mean? No other reason. Because he didn't have... I mean, he's popped up throughout the seasons, you know, kind of periodically, but I feel like this time, now that they're focusing in on him and Carol, it's over for him. It's a wrap.
What if it's the other way around? What if Carol goes?
No, we can't lose Carol. No. It's not time for Carol to
put on blood.
We can't lose Carol.
Tobin could go later.
Okay, quick segue before we continue into the Morgan being another idiot like he always is on the show conversation. What's the top five least killable characters on this show in order? Rick is the number one least killable character.
Carl's number two.
Carl is the least
killable? I don't think Carl's number two.
Yeah.
No?
I think that Carl's death is just a strengthening point for Rick. So if they ever do it, that's when they send Rick over. That is just a plot twist for him, and that makes him go nuts. Because we've kind of seen him, he went super mad last season, and now this season he's almost like jokingly crazy. Covered in blood last week.
Yeah.
I feel like if they kill Carl, that's it. Done.
No, we're not losing Carl.
I feel off like the rails.
The baby.
I think in a lot. Oh, you think the baby is less
killed? You're just a horrible person.
No, I'm saying you can't. I'm saying you cannot.
Oh, okay, all right.
No, I'm not Steven.
I don't think I don't think they'll kill Maggie.
I was going to say, to me, actually, it goes Rick. I think I might even put Maggie or Carol as the number two, because Maggie is such a pillar of the show. She's so important to keep around. You don't gain much by killing Maggie.
She's got a baby in her womb. We're not going to kill her.
She's hoped for the whole show right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
She's going to have to be on the sidelines for
a while. Lost everything, too. Yeah. Like, she has to be the one that makes it out of all
and
that.
And if people are predicting that Glenn is going to die soon, if Maggie goes, what's the point? If she goes too,
we're just going to kill ourselves.
What does that mean?
Maybe Michonne, but I really think that Carol is a near unkillable character. I think she's nearly unkillable. Carol has had the most incredible transformation of any character in the whole show. She's become the most intelligent fan favorite character, because how often do you see a middle-aged woman be Rambo on a show? She's straight up gone from being the battered housewife to actually just almost the toughest character on the whole show.
Well, according to the feed, the four that are predicted to survive are Rick, Carl, Michonne, and Maggie.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that too.
So everyone is just buying into Daryl dying.
I mean,
That would put Carol in the top five, because that was four. So I asked the five.
Okay.
I would agree that's the five.
That's fair.
I think you can kill Judith before you can kill
her. You're a terrible person.
I'm not saying that you will. I'm just saying if Judith was to die in a freak accident, it would push Rick over the edge, but not in the same way that Carl would.
Yes, agreed. I can't imagine. I guess Daryl could die. I just can't accept that.
Well, I read an article, and I think you read the same article, Ben, that the predictions are, before the season's over, is that Daryl will die.
Yeah.
I hope that's not the case.
I think it was,
because I love him.
When we finished watching the show tonight, I think, I forgot which one of you said it, but it's he hasn't really contributed the way he used to. So he's not really like a purposeful character right now, or he's not really adding anything to the group. So there's a good chance, if he goes, it really wouldn't hurt the progress that they're making now.
According to Dave G, Daryl is toast.
Ooh,
quote.
Delicious toast.
I think,
quote. I don't know. I feel like there are so many Hot Topic shirts that insinuate a riot that would happen if they kill off Daryl, which I'm now in fear of. I don't want a riot.
It will happen.
Especially in Hot Topics, because that's where we buy Funko Pops.
Yeah, exactly.
I need that place.
I don't think you could actually, the characters that have been predicted based on conversation, forums, and all that, you've got Daryl, by the season, by the way.
Sure.
Daryl, Glenn, Abraham.
Yeah.
Yep.
Abraham. Seems like now even people are suggesting that possibly Tobin could die. Possibly Tara could die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of characters to kill off in one season. I think maybe two.
But I don't think Tobin's a major character.
Yeah, his death could happen next episode, and nobody will care.
He's not I don't think the people are so heartfelt about Tobin. I think that they are trying to create a storyline for him right now, but I don't think that people would lose any sleep over him dying.
I'm just heartfelt about shipping him and Carol. I don't care about Tobin. I have no link or emotional attachment to him. But
you're just
I just
happy for Carol.
I'm just happy for Carol. When was the last time she kissed a man?
So is their ship Karen? But you Karin, C A R I N.
Toril.
Toril.
Toril. Toril.
Toril.
Carbon.
Carbon. Carbon is good.
Carbon.
Carbon is interesting.
Put that on the internet so we own
it. I feel it's just giving them storylines. Because I'm awful
ship
with
Carbon.
It's taken 6 years for me to remember some of these names. So some of the new characters. So there's Dreadlocks.
That's Heath.
Heath.
Right. There's Scout Guy. He was the one who went out. He was
Jesus?
No, not Jesus. He was. He's part of the group.
Aaron.
It's Aaron. Okay, so Aaron.
Ross Marquardt.
And Tobin.
And then there's Spencer.
And then Spencer.
And Denise.
that's it. Those are the main four that
Spencer,
we've really seen.
Denise, yeah, because most of the other ones in Alexandria that were fairly major all died now.
Yeah, yeah, everybody else,
like,
is nameless.
If they're important,
there.
They were in the church in this episode.
When they were all, so let's, yeah, let's move into that scene, because yeah, so in that scene in the church, something you pointed out, John, was that it was almost entirely main characters.
It was only the known group that was in there. Really,
that's a good point. That's
now,
a great point.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. There was all the characters we mentioned. I wish I had the screen cap right in front of me, but on the left side, in the middle, there's one character whose name I can't think of. Middle-aged dude, black dude. What's his name? I don't think he's had a lot of lines. You know what I'm talking about? He's the only character in the
whole
church.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I'm looking around the panel.
I'm joking.
He's saying you're middle-aged.
I'm just saying. And black, apparently.
Oh, really?
You're the social media coordinator. I was going to see if you can get the chat going.
Listen, I'm getting this chat going. Keep going. I'm sorry. I'm joking.
If somebody in the chat can tell me who I'm talking about, I've seen his face before.
Yeah.
He's one of the background characters, and he was the only character in the church I noticed who was like, okay, you're not someone who normally has lines. And I can't think of what his name is.
I can't picture his face. I don't know.
But he was in the church. And so with Morgan...
Someone says Scott.
Scott died, though, right?
Who is Scott?
I'm reading
not
just
Scott.
From the chat.
Was Scott
so.
Aaron's boo?
No, that's Aaron and...
It's not he.
Not Heath.
Oh, man. See, this is it takes 6 years.
So many names.
Listen, AMC.
We haven't seen Aaron's boy in a while. His name is...
Someone said the bald-headed black guy. We need a name, though. We need a name.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
No, not season one, ep one.
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, we're jumping all around here. But
I'm
so,
name them by how they look or the episode they appeared in first.
People keep saying Scott on the chat.
Okay.
I don't
sure.
know if that's
Scott.
The case. But
I really Scotty. Thought Scott died, but maybe he's alive. For some reason, I thought Scott like got bitten or something like that. Maybe he's alive. But anyway. Morgan is what we're talking about here.
Yes.
So Morgan's opinion is that I want to talk to these people, and I don't want to get involved, and I want to warn them first.
Right.
Rick is like,
give him the option.
We can vote, but you're wrong. So then Morgan slinks off after he has this conversation with Carol. It's really awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like building something with a soldering.
It definitely looks like he's building a prison there to me. It is absolutely the impression, because there were also cinder blocks around the door frame, and then it was like it looked like he was soldering metal, so it has to be like a cage door reminiscent of his interaction with
Twisty from American Horror Story.
Yeah, currently. We're
with
really
the
bad
wolf,
at names.
Right?
No, Eastman.
Eastman,
yeah.
Yes.
He was Twisty in American Horror Story.
Okay.
Again, I only go...
if we get too many names wrong, we will get torn apart. We can't get torn apart.
We've already hit
Eastman,
that point.
Eastman. Yeah. But I mean, I feel like that was the drama they were creating in this episode, the Morgan versus violence drama, because we all knew that, at least all of us who were like, come on, they're not going to meet Negan this episode.
Right.
So
no.
Everything was going way too easy. You had to have some kind of conflict, and the conflict, which is always the thing, is Morgan versus violence, which I, for one, am getting a little tired of.
Same here.
Because I'm like, come on.
Like, you're in this world. Like, deal with it the way everyone else is dealing with it. Like, you need to at this point. He needs to change his perspective and the way he does things at this point.
Yeah, and in that conversation in the church, it felt like it was three conversations happening, because it was Rick's perspective, then Morgan's perspective, and then Aaron being the one originally from Alexandria. It felt like he was still the person representing the opinion of Alexandria. So it was like, it was a 2-to-1 scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
I mean, I thought that was really interesting that Rosita then approached Carol about it, so I almost stood up and called him out. It's like, okay, why aren't you standing up and calling him out? Or why isn't Carol like, look, this guy clearly doesn't have the stomach for what we're trying to do here. And even though it does seem like Carol's having a little bit of a crisis of faith with the way they do things, she seems like she's struggling. You know, she's adjusted. She's fully become like a wolf, not like the wolves, but she's become like a total killer.
Yeah.
The whole cookies thing was clearly her being like, okay, I kind of like being a person again. Now we're going to have to go and get blood all over our hands.
So she's still a wolf in sheep's clothing.
That scene of the, I mean, you've got happy music playing. She's making cookies, and then she goes out in her white outfit and gets blood all over. I mean, it's just, they're just so good at symbolism on the show. They always have been. And that's such a great poetic scene.
And it was one of the bloodiest Walker kills, too.
Like,
that thing sprayed all over her when she did the kill.
Ew.
That's you get an ew to that, but not the last half of this episode.
Oh my god, did you not see me
with
while
the squelching?
We were watching?
Yes. So much squelching.
Did you not see me? I can't handle this stuff.
And it was all off camera too. It was the most violent episode you were saying, I think.
Most violent episode I've ever seen.
And none of it was on camera.
No. So okay, but why
was the idea
of
what
god.
They were doing
squelch.
That made it so but it was like, we know that they've never killed anyone blindly.
right? I mean, it was a murder.
They were literally murdering people. Yep. Like, it wasn't like they were being provoked. They were doing it in their sleep. It was something that, though a lot of them have killed humans, like live humans before, like, it was never in this nature. And it was, that's what made it so.
It was very cold blooded.
Yeah.
And for the people who are watching, the reason we keep saying squelch is on closed caption, that was the sound effect noise kept popping up on our
screen.
Sharp
breath.
Squelch.
True story. I play a lot of Magic the Gathering, and there's a card called Squelch.
Yeah. Different.
Every time Squelch would happen on screen, it was a little picture of a goblin, and he's like riding something metal, I think. So every time Squelch, it would pop in my head.
I love that you took something nerdy like The Walking Dead and made it nerdier.
Yeah, I can do that.
That's good. I'm capable.
It is Scott. I was
Scott. Listen. The consensus on social media is that it's Scott.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with Scott.
I checked. Yeah, it's definitely Scott.
He confirmed it.
Scott was hurt at one point, I think, when they got back
from
the
trip. That's what the social media says, but...
Oh, yeah, he was in the infirmary.
Infirmary. So for some reason in my mind, he had passed away.
Because you're a bad person.
But
he
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's okay. We're going to go with the social media.
Yeah. I'm still wishing that we could remember exactly Aaron's boyfriend. What... He's alive. He's 100% alive.
Yes.
I think he's alive.
He didn't die, and he's very rarely in episodes. They'll show him in the background of episodes, but he's not on camera very much.
No. Don't worry. Tomorrow in the comments, it will appear 50 times.
Yeah.
We'll find it tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
We'll figure it out.
here's what I don't know with Morgan. Why does anybody in that town feel like they owe Morgan anything?
I think it's because he's got the Rick bump. I think it's because he's Rick's boy. Rick was the one that vouched for him, and don't cross Rick.
You really?
I can see that.
I think so.
But you don't think Rick would just disagree with him or, like, not take his side?
Because he was the first person to save Rick's life when the world changed. I think that he owes something undeniable to Morgan.
Yeah.
I think he'll never back down on
it. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, no matter what you say about Rick, he's a dedicated person to his team and to the people that he loves.
That's true.
And I think that he loves Morgan no matter what. You know?
Except when he expelled Carol.
That's a different subject.
I also don't think he felt like at that point he owed Carol.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right.
But I think the fact
Rick is still a very dedicated person.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what happens, he still has a in-depth understanding of who his team is, and he always wants to support that. And he doesn't want to be seen as a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it could be argument that he is becoming a monster, but that's a different
subject. But the best kind of monster.
Yes. Yeah.
I love how he only talks and it seems like t-shirt phrases now. Like, everything he says is like, this is why we eat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just like everything he says is just such a badass statement. It's just so, he's just so, like, tough and, like, Daryl's still the best, but he's still just such a badass. Or he tries to be a badass. Maybe that's what it is.
Rick? Yeah. Oh, Rick's, like you said, he's fully becoming a cartoon character.
Yeah.
But I also think,
I
also think that what they've done with Rick's character is fairly brilliant now, like, with the way they've brought him around, because they're, like, Well, I'll save any exposition for the spoiler section at the end because it references the comic books, but it definitely feels like what they're doing with Rick is that they are trying to make it like all this craziness, everything he goes through, he is the de facto leader of this group, not just because he tries to be, but because he is the best equipped, because he actually is the best leader, not like he's just put himself in the position to be. And if the world does ever settle, which is like what it sort of feels like they're giving us, like Rick is trying to settle the world now.
Yeah. He's not Gregory.
Yeah, he's trying to get us away from this idea that we have to run all the time. He's trying to, we can fight, we can stay where we are, we can live. They want to set him up almost as like some sort of political leader of their group. Mm-hmm. He is the head of it. And so I think it's kind of brilliant that they're making him into this, like, he is a cartoon character, but you believe that he's the leader of the group. You know what I mean? Like, I think he can handle
based
anything.
On swagger.
Yeah.
Like anything. Right. Doesn't matter what happens to him. If Rick loses an eye, he's still the leader of the group. Like,
hand? Who knows?
Right, exactly. Ridiculous. The boyfriend's name is Eric, by the way.
Aaron and Eric.
Mm-hmm. Aaron and Eric. But he's not on screen very much. And he's only, I just checked, he's only been 9 episodes.
Yeah.
Weird. And he didn't die?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I really don't think he died in the fight.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it would have meant too much to actually see him die.
Got it.
So, anyway, Morgan is soldering a prison or something like that. We're not really sure. We've worked all this lead up to the crazy part of the episode. Sorry.
But before they got there, there was one last great moment at the RV, and that was they were going through, and the whole point was make a bunch of noise, get a bunch of walkers, and how do we find the one that looks the most like Gregory?
Yeah.
And
it's pretty great plan.
It's a phenomenal plan, and they are like, oh, that one looks the closest, trim his hair a little bit, and he's like, no, his nose.
Yeah.
He had a different nose.
I love that
And Rick
scene.
Just punches it, and he's like, He broke your hand.
Plus, you can also take into account a dead face is going to look different than like Gregory's real face.
True.
Yeah, it's a real live filled with blood face.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great plan.
Three really interesting phases of the whole episode, which is not usually how they structure these. Usually, it's like lots of nothing and then a crazy twist. Right. Mm-hmm. For like a season and a half now, it's been kind of like slow crawl and then what at the very end. This felt like the first half was very much like relationshipy. Like I always liken it to all six people who've probably seen Buffy. There was an episode before.
Good point.
The episode before they go to the Hellmouth and they do the fight. Everybody's in the house. They're all hooking up. Felicia Day, everybody, right? It's a whole thing. And then they go to battle. That happened. Yep. And then you've got this weird kind of like heist type of thing with the synth music happening.
True. Yeah.
Where it's like, I got this plan. You're going to go over here. I'm going to go over here. You're going to lie to the guy. He's got a broken nose. All this crazy stuff's going to happen. And then just a crazy 80s revenge movie, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It just was awesome.
It works.
Yeah.
But here's my only problem with that scene. There's no cameras or anything on the outside when they're all going into this. What was that?
I can't imagine something as convenient as a security system would just be there working.
I don't know.
But I'm saying, would there be someone on the roof? Would there be a man on the roof? Like, I can't think that there would be no one there to secure this area at all. So I'm sorry, I have a problem with that.
Middle of the night, everyone's sleeping. There's two security guys that are clearly at watch. Maybe one's on the roof to begin with.
They come down.
And they thought that they had every other group in check, and they didn't know that Rick's group existed. So
Rick.
I feel like when they know that Gregory, when they know where Gregory's group is and like where the Hilltop is, that's all they know. So I feel like they felt comfortable and complacent enough to just have two people.
Yeah.
And that's like their routine.
I know. Did you guys think that he was going to be like, this isn't Gregory's head? Or you knew they were going to not, they were going to just.
I knew it was a false. Yeah. It was a lead on that he was going to. Oh, okay, good job.
Yeah.
By
the
way, they love your Buffy reference on the chat.
Good.
By the way. Several people are loving your Buffy chat, right?
Yeah. Several.
Let
me give you some more Buffy.
Okay, let's talk Spike. No. I have a theory about that whole campus that they went to at the very end because it was way too easy. And we've all been trying to figure out since the episode ended why it was so easy.
And no one woke up at all.
I feel like, and they also kicked down like two doors and there was like agriculture going on. Right. I feel like this was like Negan's like farmhouse.
Yeah.
It was like the bare minimum of actual soldiers, the weakest guys. It was just kind of like, I'm gonna make, and like they probably thought that was a victory, which is a great moment in an episode, right? And it was probably like, oh, that place? No, that was like not that was like my daycare center.
That's our operating base. That's nothing.
Is the weakest of weak, which is probably it lends to the fact that there was no security, there was two guys outside, everyone was unconscious, which even at like Alexandria, no, everyone isn't asleep at night.
Right.
Everyone's on edge. Everyone's up, right?
Yeah.
So it was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so they get in there and they pull this move. They get inside, and then it's just straight up. Like, a bunch of us saw London Has Fallen this week for press stuff. It was like watching London Has Fallen for a second.
Yeah.
There's just so many bullets, these explosions, like just like breaking down doors, and then juxtaposed against just the most gruesome moments in Walking Dead's history. I think the squelch moments might have been the single most gruesome moments on the show we've seen.
Yeah.
Killing sleeping people that you know nothing about with knives through the brain, like, and none of them screamed, which I thought was a little strange.
None of them screamed.
Well, to their defense, technically they did not show their faces, you know what I mean, in those scenes.
Sure.
But I do not believe that no one would have screamed or notified someone else or there would have been any noise at all where someone would have been on alert in that scene.
Not only were they sleeping, but they were very heavy sleepers.
Heavy sleepers.
I'm no scientist, but I feel like once a knife has gone through your brain, like, that's it. You have no chance to do anything else.
I was just thinking maybe like a scream, like a pain, like a reflex scream. That's what I was assuming. Mm. Granted, I'm totally making this up right now, and it's really gross to talk about, but I'm just guessing.
Like, I don't know. The one part from that bothered me was Heath and Glenn going into a room, and there are two people in there. I'm a light sleeper, and just a light being
the
on,
the door
opening, that would be enough for me to like turn. And if I see the light open, I would wonder why there was a light
on. Yeah. It was too easy. It was all too easy.
Well, let's talk.
According to Maker Mangbat, sorry if I'm screwing up your name, but he says, how would you scream when you just got killed instantly?
Squelch.
You squelch.
Yeah, you squelch. I guess I was just thinking, like, the knife is going, like, maybe you're, I don't know, never mind.
Some kind of loud death rattle.
I'm just like, you're a reactive, sound.
Yeah.
Enough to wake the other guy up.
Yeah.
All right, but so they're in the room, and after they've squelched these guys, Glenn looks over, and he sees a series of Polaroid pictures on the wall.
Yeah, that was crazy.
There was about 12 or 13 of these pictures.
Yeah. Where Blaine's brains were splattered.
That was a good moment of foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, it was a moment for us as the audience to, because this whole episode, this part of the episode, kind of made me feel like, okay, they're having trouble realizing that they have to go in and kill people they know nothing about. They're literally murdering these people. They must feel like they have no, like, they can't come back from this, or like, yeah, now they're the bad guys, like, they're evil. So those Polaroids were, like, for us who are probably thinking the same thing, to remind us that, like, okay, these guys are also evil. They're sure also murderers and assholes. They're so, sort of like two purposes for
actually
me.
I think they're worse than Rick's camp.
Oh, yeah. No, of the fact course that they're worse.
They're taking Polaroids and keeping track of that.
Of course they're worse, but so, I feel like that was meant for Glenn to be like, okay, it's okay that I'm doing this because they're jerks. And now we're also thinking, like, okay, these guys are also irredeemable.
I'm trying to figure out, like, when... Well, actually,
that's where do you get Polaroid film in the apocalypse? Me too. Where do you go? CVS isn't open. That stuff runs out.
Yeah, and those things expire eventually. It's true. They don't last too long.
I think one thing I really want to talk about is the total disappointment of Jesus' badass moment.
Yeah.
Where he, like, literally is like, I got this. No one's going to hear me. Puts on his Sub-Zero mask.
With his hair.
Goes inside. It's like, pop. That was it? That was all you did? Like, come on.
You wanted him to run in and do, like, a cool jump off the walls, take out, like, six guys.
I wanted him to be like, Jesus Chan, flying over
pull
stuff.
Off like a Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai.
Jesus Chan.
Exactly. Six dudes.
Hashtag Jesus Chan.
Jesus Chan is
or
great.
Or Ninjesus.
Ninjesus.
One of those extremely well choreographed.
I think that's a Lego set.
Ninjesus.
I know, and then he says, so this is the new world,
this
right?
This is the new world, yeah.
Which is a cool line. Which is definitely a cool line.
It is.
I like that a lot. And so they get the armory. That's the important thing, though. They actually get to the armory, and they find these crazy machine guns, and they just take out these people.
They unload on a door. And my only thing is, after that, I still would have shot a few more extras just to be safe.
But that's the one thing that was really interesting, is, like, because you, as anyone who's ever played any first-person shooter video game, when you have limited ammunition, you count your bullets. You know exactly how many you have. When you're in this world, this apocalypse, and you know exactly how many bullets you have back home on you, you count them, and the moment they cross that threshold and see a pile of bullets, they're like, oh, yes, like, that's it. And then they know they can just lay in the
door. It's a setup for a boss battle.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. True.
Speaking of games, I got very, like, big Left 4 Dead feels.
Moment,
where they, like, came into the safe house, mm-hmm. or they looked like a safe house, and, like, shut the door real quick.
I was reminded of, like, with the shooting through the door thing, it reminded me a lot of the thin sliding doors from GoldenEye. When you'd play on, like, 007, where you'd have the AK-47, which name I can't remember right now, but you would get, like, one box of ammo on the hardest setting. You mm-hmm. wouldn't get any more, and you'd have to only shoot, like, four times through the door and knock the guys out. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, but...
Yeah. No, it really was. It was a great moment. It was really good. Again, everything is so tense because you're like, who's going to die? This show kills anybody always.
Yeah.
Like, and no one died.
I know. That was, like, a false sense of security thing. So, okay, so they take out the place. They kill everyone. Mm-hmm. And Michonne's like, I want to know who Negan was. We all knew Negan was not there, right? Like,
yeah. Everybody, of course.
It's just a huge, huge letdown.
That would have been the biggest letdown ever.
Yeah, we would have known.
Although I did think when Homie ran out on the motorcycle that it was going to be Negan.
Yeah.
Even though we know who Negan is because... us Supernatural fans know who Negan is.
And Watchmen fans.
And Watchmen fans.
Spoiler, because some people don't want to know. So.
Okay,
that's fair. I'm not saying too much, but I'm just saying I thought that at that moment we would get a little reveal, which we did not.
See, the reason I didn't think it was him, and this has nothing to do with the comic stuff, but the way he's described is, you know, being such a badass and killing one of the people from Hilltop and everything like that, he's not the type that would run from something.
No.
I feel like he would come out and be like, He would do something impactful, not flee.
Yeah, and also from a writing standpoint, they wouldn't give us that. And also, Nicotero has directed so many of the best episodes of the show. They would never give him such like a huge letdown in another episode that he directed as that. If that was Negan, that would just be a giant letdown. But so this guy who we don't know who he is rides off on Daryl's bike, right?
That's Daryl's bike.
Yeah, that's why Daryl was even like, "Where did you get the bike?"
Yeah.
So they hit him. He gets down on the ground, and then we hear on the radio, "We've got your people. Step away from the man."
step away.
I didn't see that coming, I gotta be honest.
No, because Maggie and Carol were off with the RV, mm-hmm. or the car, whatever it was, yeah. truck, just around the corner. And
doing a bad job on lookout, apparently.
So yeah. now they've been taken captive, and that is where the episode ends. So yep. I don't even know what to make of it.
Oh, my God.
We have four more left, right?
Yes. Yes. Yep, this was the halfway mark.
And according to the feed here, that Negan will not show up till the last
episode. That's what it seems like.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
So,
producers are keeping us on our toes, though. They have been saying, like, you could see him in a week. You could see him in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just keep watching, please. Yeah.
I know. So,
and it's working.
Aww. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're building. I don't know. The fact that they went and took down this facility, this episode, like I said, I found a little surprising. But also, it alleviates a little bit of my concern, which is like last week I was like, how are they going to stretch this out over five episodes? Yeah. I don't understand how we're going to get to the Negan moment. It's going to take us five more weeks. What are they going to do?
It plays into the ego thing. It's such a mind game because, like I said, like Rick and the gang, they're like, confrontation, that's our game. Like, that's they've got this.
I agree.
So, like, the fact that they're like, okay, yeah, sure, satellite tower, let's do it. Boom, knocked everybody out. Now what? Like, they're like, wait, no, this was nothing? Like, yeah. like they have to keep
they
giving.
Yeah.
So I have to throw this out there. So according to our feed, that we should throw out an MVP of the night.
Oh,
so
I like that.
So all you guys should guess an MVP, and I'm going to say who the winner is according to our feed here. So Ben,
from the episode tonight,
who would you say is the MVP?
Oh my God!
No, John, it's not about you. Not John. God, Ben, who's right. the MVP?
I'm on the spot now. MVP of the episode has got to be somebody else. Go first,
Glenn.
Oh damn it!
I was going to say
you're
going to
say Glenn.
I'm going to go
John
Glenn.
Saying Glenn.
Glenn.
Jesus.
Yeah, I go Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, so Father Gabriel has won tonight for MVP. And you know what? I'm going to admit that, yeah. that's the truth.
That's only
because I was a hater on Father Gabriel
for, a little more like
for
now.
So Finally. Many episodes.
Finally.
But you know what? Finally, he freaking stepped up.
No, this is why, if we have to pick an MVP, I'm gonna pick Glenn. Because Glenn's whole thing was knowing that Heath had not killed somebody.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between killing somebody in self-defense, which is what happened when the gunfight was happening, versus killing somebody in cold blood.
Yeah.
And Glenn took that bullet for him.
Right. And also, well, yeah.
Well, sort of.
He's become slightly more likable now. I mean, that's all that we have.
Sure. The two are Gabriel or Rick, and I'm going to go with Gabriel.
I'd say between those two, I would choose Father Gabriel, but I agree with you 100%, John. Like, Glenn for sure.
Rick is
real MVP.
He's omnipotent. Like, Rick is just going to be, he's going to be what he's going to be. He has to get knocked down a peg. Like, he is untouchable
He's Michael Jordan. So he's Michael, eventually well, according you have to let Tanya other people R, do stuff.
He's Gangsta Gabriel.
Gangsta
Gabriel. Gangsta
Gabriel. What? I was going to say, like, Rick is like Tom Brady, and like Father Gabriel is like Michael Vick in 2010. And he had that one really good season, and he kind of reworked his public image a little bit. And like some people started to like him again. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what we've got with Gabriel. But who knows how long it's going to last.
Please give him a dog in the future episode now.
No, okay.
Is he in the top five killable or top five unkillable, Father Gabriel?
He's like sort of neutral to me. If he died, it would just be a whatever moment.
He's in the middle. Yeah. He's not in either
he's
of those.
He's kind of had a pretty good
I want to see
journey.
More from him now that we've seen him grow a little bit. Yeah. Like, I want to see that continue for
I
a while.
I still want him to
die.
I want him to die. But he's manned up a little bit more than what in the past.
The fact that they're developing a bunch of secondary characters for us now, it's two things. I see one is that they're managing our expectations of the way that they usually do this, which is where, like you said, if they give us a bit more screen time with a character or a new relationship, it usually spells doom for someone. Mm-hmm. But they know that. So they're giving us a lot of them now. They're developing a lot of characters at the same time and giving us a lot of people. So you don't really know who to think is going to go.
Right.
I see that as one. I see the second is that I think they're going to kill 3 to 5 people by the end of the season, and they're going to need to fill some shoes. So if we are a bit more familiar with Gabriel, if Tobin has stepped up a bit more, if Sasha and Abraham become the relationship instead of Rosita, I think you have a little more space of who you can take out.
Sure.
Because if Hilltop does become a part of this and we meet a whole new group of villains,
you have to get new people.
I don't think we could do that anymore. I think this is the new plot device introducing characters. It's a slow roll. It's Jesus for a couple weeks, then it's the new guy who helped get them back into Negan's camp for a couple weeks. I feel like the last time we've even done that, aside from Alexandria, was that bus trip, and like I think it was the end of season 2.
Yeah,
it was just they literally dumped off a bus of people and like, well, this is a new cast for this.
Yep,
like,
right.
This
there you go.
Just kind
of
like,
and we met none of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay. So speaking of who we think is going to die, I think we should probably move into predictions.
Right?
Yeah.
And now.
Oh yeah, I forgot to warn you about that.
Yeah.
It's a light show.
Don't be startled.
It's a rave.
Is that why the pacifiers are down here?
Sorry. All right, predictions. I predict that the capturing of Maggie and Carol will result in nothing major. I think they will get them back fairly quickly. There'll be a trade. All that it is a plot device to further what eventually is going to happen, which is a massacre ending at the end of the end of the season.
I think the capture of Maggie results in a 1-for-1 trade, and that's when Glenn takes the hit at the end of the season.
Oh, you think right there they trade back and then Glenn just dies?
I think the option is I'm going to kill this girl, and Glenn steps up and say, "Do not kill her, kill me instead," and that's why Glenn gets it.
Oh, it's more noble than... Oh, spoiler. Sorry.
It's prediction. Yeah. It's not spoiler.
Oh, we... Really?
I mean, prediction.
I feel like it's so hard to do predictions without spoilers.
Yeah,
so.
It's a spoiler.
Well, we've been saying it every week.
Yeah, I think we should do the spoiler real quick just so we can do predictions, honestly, because I think if we don't...
Spoiler alert! There we go. Can we get some spoiler alert music?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
All right, perfect.
Spoiler alert! So,
we have more times.
All right.
We have all been predicting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Glenn's going to get it. I don't see...
You think Glenn over Daryl?
I honestly think both are dying somehow, but I think the capture of Maggie is giving you the plot device for how Glenn gets it.
Because, yeah, what I was going to say is in the comics, it's not quite that noble.
No.
This would make sense for television if Glenn sacrificed himself to save Maggie,
yeah,
as opposed to in the comics where it's just like, Negan's just like, I'm just going to kill someone.
Especially after what we've seen Glenn go through tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why are you even out here?
I feel like this capture of Carol and Maggie is such a nothing. Like, when they had the reveal of the people that kidnapped them, and they even show us scenes to next week, and it's just like, two ladies in the woods. Like, I don't think that's the rest of Negan's camp. I would love if they continued this trend of having this, like, false sense of bravado and false sense of victory up until the end, where it's like, you've actually done nothing, and boom, killed three major characters. That's what I want. That is classic Walking Dead.
Three major characters.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with three people. Not in any order, but before the season's over. I'm going to go with Aaron. I think Aaron's going to die.
All right.
I'm going to go with Morgan. And I'm going to go with Daryl.
You think Glenn's alive?
I think Glenn's alive. I think we think Glenn should die. But he's not going to die.
The most obvious character shift would just be move Daryl into the Glenn role and have Daryl get his head bashed, if you were going to do that.
Daryl, Glenn, Tobin.
But I feel like you're right. Like, the whole Maggie being captured thing just makes it that much easier to feel, to think that Glenn is going to be next to go.
But he's not. He has to see his child born.
Well, then that also that also gives Maggie a lot of, like, obviously, like, she's going to be distraught over, Glenn's death.
Yeah, but we're not going to do part 2 on that, though. We've already seen her...
But this baby, like we said earlier, is going to be hope. So it'll give her a reason to, like, feel better.
I think
better
about the situation,
but, like, it'll be better a little bit.
Right.
They need to literally call the baby Hope, because I feel like they tried that with Judith. Like, we should call her Hope. And they're like, shut up, it's Judith.
Like Maggie
did that in the episode.
No other pillar but this child to, like, lean against.
They did that in the X-Men, and it worked so well. Yeah,
well, if you're listening to the chat right now or typing on the chat, please let us know your predictions, because I'd like to recite them before we leave the show.
All right. Well, before, so let's,
like, quickly.
Oh. So let's do our sign-offs, and then after our sign-offs, we'll throw a couple of fan predictions out. Matt Robert, where can the folks find you?
You can look for me on YouTube at on YouTube on the Popular Kids. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, all the things. Tinder?
Really?
Sure.
Can I search for you on Tinder?
Yeah, I think so.
Just make
keep
sure
swiping. Just look up Amy Schumer.
What is it? Swipe left?
Swipe up. Down.
Oh, it's up and
up,
down?
Up, down, back and forth. You just do this, and then it's the religious Tinder.
So
it's so at Matt Robb, MATTRAUB on all social media.
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri, and I will be on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast this Tuesday, which comes back. I'm so excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can find me at the John Carl on Twitter and Instagram. I don't do Snapchat.
You're not
sorry.
The only John Carl.
There's I'm others. The John Carl. No, because there's a John Carl who took that name and he won't give the damn thing up.
Find him.
And also on YouTube, on Whiskey and Waffles, and I just had a small stroke.
That's good.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I don't have Snapchat. I do an action movie podcast here at the same studio for Popcorn Talk called Action Movie Anatomy. We're covering London Has Fallen this week. A whole hilarious breakdown of it. So tune in for that at 3:00 on Wednesday. Daryl, our brand new social media coordinator.
I love this job. This is my favorite job of this show.
It's the most comfortable.
We're going to find you.
And I have a great couch. So the person who asked me why I'm not sitting on the panel, I will tell you, because I wanted to sit on the couch. Yeah. So that's why. You can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I want to read a couple of the predictions that people are saying. So they're saying Daryl, Carol, and Glenn will die next. Glenn, Tara, and Carol.
I still went by Carol.
Let's see here. This is Steve says Glenn.
Right.
He said Glenn three times.
Wow.
Wow. So Carol, Candy Perez said Daryl, Glenn, Tara, Rosita. And Chris Mayer said Carol, Morgan, Glenn, and Heath.
Everyone wants Carol. Everybody,
but Glenn is the consensus, though. I'm just saying, out of all those that I read, Glenn is in everyone.
Like, what if the situation arises next week where it's like they got to choose between Carol or Maggie, and like something happens where they choose Maggie, and then they get rid of Carol, and then
she goes back.
They
later.
Have to trade Glenn for Maggie. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's going to be someone's going to have to choose.
Carol dying sounds like a stretch to me. That's just my message.
Carol's not dying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no.
She's, not, she's too prominent.
If I'm right next week.
Yeah.
But I will say, comic book bar, if they kill Glenn, it has to be the most violent and on-screen death.
It will. Because they killed him once fake already.
Right.
So they're not going to do it again unless it's the real thing. Yeah. And you see every bit of eye-popping
good matter.
Anyway, that's going to do it for the episode today. Tune back in, same time, same place. Next week, we have four more episodes of this, and we go directly into Fear the Walking Dead at the same time on the same network, and I think I'll be on the same show. So if you guys want to do that as well, stick around. But we will see you next week, same time, same place. Thanks for hanging out, guys.
Yay!
This
was fun. Yay! Bye, guys.
See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
We had 300 watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz team.